Well, guys, it is December the 17th. I know, right? It's a collective, like, oh, I can't believe it either. 1 week from today, it will be Christmas Eve. How are you guys doing? Yeah, good. a little bit tired. When I talk with people, whether I'm talking to a college student who's just wrapping up the semester, a retiree, mom dealing with their kids, I feel like the most common thing I hear about the December season in New York is that it's good, but also a little tiring, a little bit busy. It's like if we pretended that this was kind of the national average of how full life feels anywhere, any season, right? And then this is kind of where it is on average in New York. Right? We're the city that never sleeps. Right? We embrace that. We know that's what the city asks of us. We're okay with that. And then you take us up here and you throw us like into December, you know? And then you add like travel, family, gifts, whatever it is. And everybody seems to feel like, okay, it's a good time of year, but it asks something of me. I'm a bit stretched. We don't tend to think of it as a time where we're gonna just be nourished and replenished in our souls. You know? We might think of more like a vacation for that, one where maybe we're not going off with all of our extended family, but just going off and doing nothing, or perhaps going to a spa. If you're a parent, maybe having the opportunity to have free childcare for a whole day and do anything you want. That sounds like something that would nourish your soul. Or spiritually speaking, we might think more of something like a church retreat as a time where we'd expect that, yeah, God, I'm hoping that he's going to really deposit something in me, something lasting, something that will carry forward. But we don't necessarily think of that at Christmas, even though the season has literally the name of Christ in it, but we just don't tend to think of it that way. We love Christmas, perhaps, but we're also a little bit like surviving Christmas. Right? All right. So here's the thing, though. What if the Christmas season, what if it really actually is meant to be a season where we receive deeply from God? Like God has a feast laid out for us, and he just is longing for us to partake of all he has and not be too busy and miss it. I'd love to encourage us this morning to believe that that's possible, that Christmas could be a time where we're meant to really drink deeply from God, and it's meant to nourish us and even provide a deposit that might propel us into the new year, really prepared and encouraged, that that's possible. So as we turn to Scripture this morning with a somewhat familiar passage, I'd love to just unpack how it might shape our attitudes and kind of our frame as we enter into the Christmas season. Okay, so turn with me, or look with me, at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's the story of the shepherds. It says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Sorry, just gonna adjust this a little bit. Okay. "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Okay, so let's look at this passage, see if we can unpack it. I think it's a rich passage. It's actually a fair number of verses. There's more in it than can fit in one sermon. It could definitely provide fodder for multiple sermons. Today, what I'd like to do is just draw out some key elements and see how it might speak to us about our attitudes and our frame as we go about our Christmas season. So let's start at the beginning here. We see the shepherds out in their fields at night. What are they doing? They're just minding their own business, going about their daily lives, they're working, when God interrupts them in the most elaborate way and speaks and has this profound exchange with them where they're invited to behold Christ. They're invited to behold Christ. Now, here we are in this sermon series on beholding God, and we see that the shepherds are invited to behold Christ. And I would propose to you that we also are invited to behold Christ this Christmas, this season that's all about him coming to us. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, it sounds good, goes kind of with the rhythm of the sermon series, beholding God, but what does that mean? So the dictionary defines behold this way: behold, to observe, look at, see. So when I say we're invited, like the shepherds, to behold Christ, what I mean is that we're invited, like the shepherds, to look for Christ, to actively try to recognize him in this season, to encounter him, and to receive from him all that he has for us. Now, that might take a little bit of effort. The shepherds had to leave their fields and go to Bethlehem, search for Christ. But isn't it interesting that God didn't appear, the angels didn't appear to people who were located near Christ, like just physically in proximity? They had to, you know, they weren't far, but they did have to leave their fields, travel into Bethlehem, and search for Christ. And the same thing with the Magi in Scripture, the famous wise men. They had to travel long distance, following nothing more than a star, and search for and find Christ. Now, if I were to be writing the Christmas story, which clearly I am not, but if I were, and I would picture it kind of like a movie. You know, Mary finds out she's going to be pregnant. She and Joseph figure out their relationship. She's coming along in her pregnancy. They find out they have to travel when she's 9 months pregnant. They travel all this way to Bethlehem, and there's no room for them. What do? They're like, oh, we find this manger. Mary goes into labor. The child is born, and then the climactic moment, oh, you know, the angels appear. Heaven shines down its light. Jesus is born, everyone's celebrating. That's how it looks in many Christmas cards too, right? The light is over Jesus. That's what makes sense. It doesn't really make sense like, oh, and then the light appears some other random place, you know? Like, I mean, just, but that's not, you know, how I would write it is not how God writes the story. How he writes that the angels appear to these people who are a little ways off. What does that tell us? Well, I think it shows us that God does meet us where we're at, and at the same time, he invites us to something more. He invites us and encourages us, beckons us to engage, to put forth some effort, to encounter Christ, to receive all that he has for us. And that might take and is well worth some effort. Okay. Now, you might think, these shepherds, of course they went to go see Christ. I mean, they just heard from angels. Who wouldn't go, you know? Drop everything and go. It's a seminal moment of history. But I would propose to you that Christ is just as alive and real today as he was then. Right? He's just as available, just as accessible, probably more accessible now as he was then. And he's certainly as worth pursuing now as he was then. Think about all the people who are just going about their lives in Bethlehem, unaware. And think about the owner of that manger, maybe just a thin wall away from the entrance of God into this world. And all the people who are just going about their lives busy, active, distracted, unaware. I think we can be like that too. In fact, I think we often are like that in this season, even though it's named for Christ and, you know, maybe we're engaged in good activities, some maybe even in Christ's name. But we're not actively looking for him in this season and expecting to hear from him, to encounter him, to receive him. Right? I think one issue we have is that we don't really let God do to us what he did to the shepherds, to interrupt us in the midst of our daily lives. Now, I don't mean that, I mean, it's probably not very likely that an angel's going to come tap you on the shoulder in the middle of your workday and tell you to go, you know, search for a baby in New Jersey or something like that, right? Probably not, not likely. But what I do mean is that it's hard for God to interrupt us because we're so busy internally, right? Our minds are so consumed, we're so preoccupied with all that we have going on, our routine, our activities, our going. And I think that it's hard for God to even get a thought about Christ kind of in edgewise into us. There's not much room. There's not much space in the in of our hearts Or we kind of relegate Christ to the manger, the leftover like time and energy that we have. But there's this invitation that's available to all of us, just like to the shepherds, for something more. And to engage in the bit of effort it might take to behold Christ this Christmas, to really encounter him and receive from him. Now, let's say that that excites you the way that it excites me, and you're interested. Like, how can we do this? What might that look like? Well, a very simple first step. I think that in order to behold Christ, we have to first turn our minds to him, right? Just think about him, think of him, and along with that, open our hearts to his Spirit. Now, I have two suggestions for things that might help us to do that, to open our minds and our hearts to Christ. And those are the Word and wonder. Okay, the Word and wonder. So first, with the Word, I'm going to suggest something outlandish to you, which is that you go home and pick up your Bible and open it to the Christmas story and read it, right? Or pick up your phone, tap on your Bible app, right? A little bit less outlandish, but still just as good. So we're going to project behind me here where you can find in your Bible the Christmas passages. They're in the first couple chapters of Matthew and of Luke. And now I know that this story may be familiar for many of you, but I suggest that you read it with an open mind, an open heart, a sense of wonder, and a highly active imagination. And a highly active imagination. Actually picture yourself in the scene. Use your five senses to kind of paint what's going on. Our home group did this recently. I lead a home group together with my husband, Khan. We lead the Forest Hills group. And Khan felt led recently to do this kind of exercise with our group, not with a Christmas passage, but with another familiar passage, the passage of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And as he was leading our group through it, I remember picturing myself among the disciples, and just new insights were kind of jumping out at me as I was picturing myself among them. The way the disciples reacted to Christ made so much more sense to me. And I was also, I'm sure this never happens with any of you, but sometimes when I read scripture, you know, I can be tempted to be a little judgy, like, oh, come on, disciples, get your act together, you know? But as I'm going through this exercise, picturing myself among them or as one of them, like way less judgy, I feel like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. My heart is reacting just the way that theirs did. I'm just like them. I need this Jesus and what he's saying, just like they did. So if you do this with these Christmas passages, you don't have to take it, you know, all in one big chunk. You can take a smaller portion of it and just take your time to really enter in. And so you could picture yourself, for example, even with today's passage, like, what was it like for the angels, you know, proclaiming this message? And the glory of God is shining out. Good news, right? Or picture yourself as one of the shepherds. What was their experience like? What I'd like to do right now, actually, is to have us take a few minutes now to actually try this out, because I think it might help so that you have an idea of what it's like, so that if you'd like to do this at home, you'd have a sense of how to go about it. So we're going to do it with just the first three verses of the passage, and we're going to project those here so you can see what they are. But if you feel comfortable to do this, I would ask that you actually close your eyes, just to help facilitate entering it. Okay, so if you feel comfortable, would you close your eyes with me? And just picture yourself, your shepherd long ago. And use your five senses to enter into the scene. You know, smell the sheep, hear them. Maybe feel the wind on your face. It's nighttime. How are you feeling? Maybe it's been a long day. You know, like, how's your body feeling? What are you seeing? What are you thinking? Are you bored? Are you looking out and trying to strain your eyes and see that there's no danger coming at the sheep? Feel the wooden staff in your hand. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? And all of a sudden, a bright light and an angelic figure. How do you react? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And out of that light, a voice says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Now, what are you feeling? What thoughts run through your mind? The voice continues and says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." You can picture this voice from the light speaking right to you. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How do you react? Okay, so you can open your eyes, and that gives you a little sense of how this scripture can come alive as we engage using, in addition to what we're used to using, our intellect, but also our hearts, our imaginations, all of us entering in, our senses even, to try to connect with God's truth. And something kind of personal can emerge. I remember as I was doing this at home, because guys, whatever I present to you, I'm committed to doing it also myself. So I was doing this myself at home. And as I was going through it, I remember the part that really stood out to me was, "A Savior has been born to you." I think when I read it, just reading it through, I think to myself, oh yeah, Jesus was born for me, for humanity, okay. But there was something about entering in and picturing myself among the shepherds and hearing that voice. That voice just cut through and kind of pierced my soul. "A Savior has been born to you, to me." And I just felt this overwhelming sense of gratitude and thanksgiving well up in me. What about for you? What came up for you? What thoughts? What feelings? You know, for some of you, it might still feel a little bit difficult to enter in fully. If so, that's okay. You know, you might just need a bit more time or a different environment, right? But for some of you, something was stirring, and that something is unique per person. So I encourage you to pay attention to it, the thoughts and the feelings that come up, because that can be an indicator of what the Holy Spirit is stirring as he's applying the scripture and its truths to your heart. So I encourage you that if you do this, you could go through the exercise, through the scripture passage, and then bring what starts to come up for you to God in prayer. Actually press into it, the thoughts and the feelings that come up. And as you do, trust that God will guide, right? The same way that as we read scripture and we know our intellects belong to him, we know our intellects are not always godly, but we trust in him, we ask of him, "Help me, Lord, to understand this aright." In the same way, our imaginations, our hearts, all of us belong to him. And as we engage scripture, we're asking him and trusting in him, "Please help me to engage your scripture in you and afresh. Please help me to connect with it more deeply and apply these truths to my heart." Okay, so let's review. There is this invitation to all of us, just like to the shepherds, to behold Christ, to make some of the effort to do that. And in order to do that, we need to consciously turn our minds and attention to him, open our hearts to him. Two things that I suggest might be helpful in that are, one, the word, and secondly, wonder. So we talked about the word, and I'd love to turn now to wonder and talk about what that might mean. So as we look at this passage, we see that the shepherds, when they encounter Christ, They're overflowing with joy, with awe, with wonder. They run around, they tell people about what's happened. They're praising God and glorifying and worshiping him. Now, I think that for you and I, as we mature, and as we live through more and more Christmases, there's a way in which Christmas can become a little bit old hat, shall we say. Yeah? And the glory of God that's in this season and the truth that he has to speak to us through it can get kind of buried under a thick layer of familiarity. And then maybe even another thin kind of crust of cynicism, right? If we're honest with ourselves. And it takes some effort to not become numb to the message of God, the wonder of God, the glory of God in this season, and all that he might want to speak to us and deposit in us through it. So I was praying about this sermon, and as I was praying, I felt led that it might be helpful just to share with you some of the things that I've found have helped me, just some things to do or some thoughts that have helped me to just remain connected with God and continue to receive from him in this season. So the first example I have, and this may not necessarily connect for all of you, but I think it will for a good number, is I have a Christmas tree up in my home, and I sit before it, and I pray. And this tree, Con and I got it before we were married. I bought it, and then when we got married and we moved in together, I remember Con looking at the box and looking at me and saying, "Are we going to store that thing, like in a New York City apartment?" For, I was like, yes, we are. You know, I mean, honestly, you know, it folds up. It's, you know, it's very, it's reasonable to me at least. And so every year we unpack it, we assemble it. It's pre-lit. Over the years, we've collected some ornaments from places and experiences that have been meaningful to us. We decorate it, and I sit in front of it, and I'm entering into God's presence in prayer, and I just take in its beauty and its light, and it speaks to me of God's goodness and of his beauty. And now I want to acknowledge that there's nothing inherently Christian about a tree, about a Christmas tree. Right? It's just a symbol that's come to be associated with Christmas, right? That's the same thing with many other symbols that have come to be associated. But I think that those symbols do speak to my heart, to many of our hearts, a sense of joy, of gladness, of goodness, of beauty. And here's the thing that's important to remember. It's not a disconnected joy and beauty and goodness. It's not a secular joy and beauty and goodness, right? I put that tree up in my home because I want in my living room a big reminder of what Christ has done for me in this season. I want to honor him. I want to celebrate him. And so when I sit in front of it and I pray, I worship God, and I let the beauty of it speak to my soul, it's almost like taking in art. Like something of it just speaks deeply and deposits something in me of God's own goodness and beauty. It speaks to me of who he is. I think of his goodness. I think of the light that God brought into the world when Christ came. And it leaves me with a good deposit. And so that's one of the ways that I connect with God in Christmas. It might speak to you. And similarly, another is when I step outside my door, go about my activities in the city, as any of us, you know, go about our daily activities in the city, we see the city decorated with all these enormous decorations and lights. And I think to myself, God is totally worth celebrating. He's worth all our joy. He's worth all our praise. And now I know that many of these buildings are not putting up decorations because of faith in Christ or anything necessarily to do with him. It's for other reasons or even selfish reasons. But I know why we're celebrating. I know why we have a national holiday, right? It's because God loves us, and he came and he broke down every barrier and he spoke to us, peace on earth, good news. And that's totally worth stringing up lights and tinsel for. I mean, is what God has done for us worth decorating the entire city of New York for? Yes, absolutely it is, absolutely. So I think of that, and then let's say that I'm also like going about my day, and I notice maybe the Salvation Army bell ringers who kind of draw your attention to give to charity, and maybe I see some holiday shoppers, and then I think to myself, oh, gosh, people are so aggressive, you know? I mean, okay, confession, I also can be aggressive, you know, like, you know, it's kind of in the air. But, okay, so I think that then I think to myself, God is so generous. His generosity is what has made it possible for us to be generous with one another. And yes, there is in gift giving, there's consumerism, there's materialism, absolutely. But there's also something else. There's love. Right? There's a love that says, I'm going to take time and energy to think about you, and I'm going to spend some of my hard-earned finances to get something, and I'm going to do all that just so I can see your face light up, and so you can know that I love you. And that spirit of love and generosity is God's own spirit. Or when we give to those in need, as many of you did so generously in Extending Hope and beyond, right? That's God's own spirit of love and generosity. And he's the greatest gift giver of all. He gave the first gift. He gave Christ. His provision for us is what makes it possible for us to be generous to one another. So, as Christians, let's not let familiarity or cynicism rob us, right, of the glory of God in this season and of the truth that he might want to speak to us in this time. Amen? Amen, yes. And even in the challenges of the season, like maybe, let's say, you're a parent who has a child who's a little bit picky, and so you get them a gift, they unwrap it, and then they look, oh, Mom, Dad, this isn't exactly what I wanted. You're like, oh, I waited in line so long to get you this, right? Just think to yourself, no, God gave the best gift that anyone could give. He literally gave God. And not everyone was happy. I mean, there's definitely grumbling. There's definitely, you know, so just let that thought kind of comfort you. Right? You're in good company. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, truly, truly, at Christmas time, it is a season that has its challenges as well. There's tremendous loneliness. There can be family struggles and other kinds of struggles. And as I experience those, and as I walk with others who experience those, I think to myself, God, how desperately we need you. How desperately we need you. And I'm so thankful that you came in mercy and in compassion to heal us, to give hope, to give strength, to give all that we need to be able to keep pressing forward towards life, towards goodness, towards love, towards God. You know, we live in a time where things can feel a bit dicey, a bit crazy. And we live in a very charged political environment, and there's terrorism, there's natural disasters. In many ways, I think actually that we've been quite lucky here in New York City. But in the midst of that brokenness, God speaks to us out of this Christmas message, the truth, his truth. Peace on earth comes through him. Right? Peace on earth comes through him. And God is not unaware of our, you know, the brokenness of the world. You know, he came, and right out the gate, there was no room in the inn. He was laid in a manger. And not only that, but the shepherds, when they were hearing from the angel how to recognize the Christ child, were they told to look for a heavenly aura or golden gifts? No, they were told to look for a baby in a manger. The brokenness was actually the sign to recognize the Christ child. And when the shepherds came and they found him, what did they do? Did they lament? Oh, why is he laid in a manger? No, they rejoiced. They praised God. They worshiped. Why? Because God has come. He has triumphed. It speaks incredible hope that he is with us, even in the midst of the brokenness, and that ultimately all will be well. It speaks to us a deposit of hope and of joy and of well-being in the present as well. And so that's why I love Christmas. You know, it's a season that where I receive a deep, rich deposit from God of who he is and what he has done for me. And it nourishes my soul, it renews me, it helps me end the year well, it propels me into the new year, prepared, encouraged, equipped. And that same deposit is available for every one of us, for every one of us. That invitation is there. We would choose to behold Christ, to actively seek all that God has for us, all that he's wanting to speak into our souls in this season. And that we'd make the effort to turn our hearts and minds to him, perhaps through engaging in the familiar passages, but letting God speak to us anew out of them, using our imaginations, and perhaps through pushing through familiarity, breaking through cynicism, to let the Holy Spirit speak to us of God's truth and of his character from Christmas in the here and now. So there's this invitation available. Would you behold Christ? Would you make that choice to press towards him? Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you so much.